One of the tests that you know if you're getting a healthy heart is more and more you hear this. You hear Jesus, 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 right? Not worldliness, not self. Your heart's beating Jesus. And the way that it beats Jesus is you're thinking about it and you're desiring it and you're living it. And that's when you know your heart is beating in a more healthy direction, because that's the goal again of this series. If you're like me too, then the more your heart starts to beat Jesus, listen, the more you're sick and tired of things getting in the way.
Welcome back to Live in the Light. We're so thankful that you have joined us today. Hey, as we begin, let me ask this question to all of you who are listening. How's your heart? Too few Christians understand the biblical teaching of the heart. Here at Live in the Light, we've been walking through a series entitled Healthy Heart. And as we've been walking through, we've been finding out that when God's word speaks about the heart, it speaks about the mind, the emotions, the affections, and the will. And so today, Robbie, we're going into a familiar passage in Matthew 5 and examining the heart in a different light.
Yeah, our text today from Matthew 5 is, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." What a statement. What a powerful understanding as we dig into the word of God to see that really the Lord, He wants our heart, because when He has our heart, He has everything. And listener right now, loved one, we call you here at Live in the Light. Understand this today. God is after your heart, because again, when He has your heart, He has you. And so you're here by God's appointment today to hear a word from God, because God will not let you stray. So if you're in a tough place, a discouraged place, a difficult place, whatever place you might be, the Lord wants to speak to you today. And He's going to say, hey, listen, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So listen up with great expectancy. The Lord's going to speak, and we pray our lives will be changed today in the process.
All right. Well, before we get to today's passage in Matthew 5, just want to remind you, listeners, if you'd like to get a copy of today's message, you can go online right now at liveinthelight.ca and get your copy for free download. Or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. And you can speak with us, and we'd love to get you a copy there as well. All right. Well, let's get to our text for today, Matthew chapter 5. Verse 8, and here again is Robbie.
All right, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, verse 8 is where we are. I got an email from a wonderful man in our church. He makes me laugh a lot. He emailed me this week, and he said something like this to me. He said, it's been so convicting a series, Robbie. I think I need to schedule a heart transplant. And I found that funny too, man. He makes me laugh a lot again, and I just could see him saying that. But that's kind of exactly what we're trying to do. This is what we're going for here, hearts that beat Christ. Remember, one of the tests that you know if you're getting a healthy heart is more and more you hear this. You hear Jesus, 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 right? Not worldliness, not self. Your heart's beating Jesus. And the way that it beats Jesus is you're thinking about it and you're desiring it and you're living it. And that's when you know your heart is beating in a more healthy direction, because that's the goal again of this series. If you're like me too, then the more your heart starts to beat Jesus, listen, the more you're sick and tired of things getting in the way. The more you're sick and tired of sin clogging up your heart. You with me? You with me? You know what I'm saying? Like when you see those sins and those perverse desires enter in, you're like, get out of my heart, man. You're killing me here. I don't want you anymore. That's a sign that God is growing you and desiring you to be more. You're sick and tired of the lies of the world. You keep falling to those lies. You're like, why am I so dumb? You know, like wake up to the things of the Spirit. I don't want to fall to that lie anymore. I mean, anyone who's really in tune with this series, really, you're just sick and tired of you. Amen? Can you admit that? Like, just, I'm so sick and tired of me. My ways don't work, man. My ways are in the flesh. My ways are filled with Satan's temptation. I don't want my way. I want Christ. And the heart that beats Christ is for Christ. And another way to describe this is that if you want this, what the Bible calls this is you want a pure heart, which is our sermon title then tonight. A healthy heart equals a pure heart. And this is massively important to Jesus and needs to be massively important to us. Healthy heart, loved ones, equals a pure heart. We're going to jump right into our sermon outline this evening. We're not wasting much time. So here it is. Do you want a pure heart? A few things you must understand. Here's the first one then. If you want a healthy, pure heart, I must understand that the call for my heart is unrelenting. The call for my heart from Jesus Christ is unrelenting. I love that about Jesus, man. He will never stop calling for the full hearts that we have and should give to him. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. One verse, life-changing. Amen? Amen? Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Nice, nice. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This verse, of course, is one of eight Beatitudes in this chapter. The word beatitude, loved ones, is a rough transliteration of the Latin word beatus. And the best translation of that word into English is our word bless or blessed. So therefore, in Matthew chapter 5, when you come to the Beatitudes, what we really have here are eight, quote, blessings given by Christ, or more commonly known as the Beatitudes. Now, the word blessed then becomes very important. What does that word actually mean? Some people translate it or want to translate it as happy. Happy is part of that meaning, I believe, but it's not quite sufficient. The blessing given here by Jesus, when he says blessed is such and such eight times, essentially what this is a statement of approval. Jesus is approving of the quality of the condition of the heart or the person that he speaks of. Think of a father blessing a child, right? A father comes up and I'm much younger than you. Well, not that much younger. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? But yeah. But a father blessing a child and be able to say, no, sorry, man. I love you so much. All right. And he blesses a child. A father is giving his approval or his blessing. He is saying, I'm affirming where you are, child, and I'm giving you blessing as you go. This, in a sense, is what is happening with these Beatitudes. Jesus essentially is saying, this is the person, this is the character, this is the heart that I approve of. And whenever a person is approved of by the God of the universe, with that will come happiness. If you sense that God is stating over your life, I approve of your heart, I am blessed and bless you, I mean, you're going to feel pretty amazing at that moment as you realize you are moving in the direction of what God wants for your life. So happiness will be a part of it. It just will not be all of it. Again, these blessings are approval by God himself. So just right there. Just like, when Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, he's like, man, like, I am so pleased. Like, this is a guaranteed good plan. Like, we are so wise to pay so much attention to what Jesus Christ, of course, approves and says you will be blessed in. Our beatitude is number six. And the sixth beatitude, notice what he approves of. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, I want us to see here as we begin digging. Notice this. Right here in the Beatitudes, yet another call for the hearts of God's people. Yet another call for the heart, for the pure heart of God's people. So if you're seeing what I'm seeing within this series, and I keep saying it over and over again, because God keeps saying it over and over again, if there's one thing he wants from you, it's your heart, man. He wants your heart. I mean, how much more proof do you need? It is everywhere, everywhere in Scripture. Again, let me say it again. The call, loved ones, for your heart and your whole heart is unrelenting. As long as you are listening for the voice of God, you will be hearing him saying, I want all of your heart. Have you figured this out yet? Jesus will not, this is an amazing thing for me. Jesus will not rest until he has all of you. He will not rest until he has all of your heart. He continues to seek and knock and pursue you and hound you in such a great way. And that's what's happening. Maybe you've walked into church even here tonight and you're not sure how you got here and you're yawning or falling asleep at the back, but you're just listening just enough to understand where this message is going. And you're like, again? I mean, I'm going to hear again how Jesus wants all of my life. Yes. Yes, you will. If you're listening to his voice because he loves you and cares for you, Jesus will not settle for half of you. Jesus will not settle for most of you. Jesus wants all of you. And how many of our stories include, I was running away from God. I was trying to run to sin. In fact, I'm trying to hide myself from being seen by God. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I had a story like that, like intentionally trying to dwell in darkness. And Jesus keeps pursuing and keeps calling and keeps putting people in my path and keeps finding books all of a sudden stumbling upon and keep hearing messages and sermons. And he keeps knocking on my heart until, of course, he wins the incredible pursuit of the living God and love upon those who are actually trying to reject him and oppose him and run from him and hide in sin. It's incredible. The greatest commandment in scripture is the call for our hearts in love for him. The question though becomes, why? Why does Jesus care so much? Why does he call us to this unrelenting call for our hearts? What's up with that? Why doesn't he just kind of leave us be? C.S. Lewis explains it powerfully here. Look at this. Love this week. He says, for he, that's God, God claims all of us. Why? Because he is love. And he must bless. Read this and get this. God must bless. But listen, God cannot bless us unless he has us. God cannot bless you unless he has you because he won't force us. And then he says, I love something. This is profound to me. When we try to keep within us an area that is our own, we try to keep an area of death. That's profoundly insightful for me. See what C.S. Lewis is saying? When you try to hide an area from Christ, you are actually keeping an area that will result in death. See, so C.S. Lewis finishes, therefore, in love, Christ claims all. There's no bargaining with him. You're not going to Jesus and say, Jesus, well, I'll give you 85% if you give me 15. Doesn't work that way, man. How about 90-10? You know, he doesn't work that way either. And some people, a lot of people say, oh, 50-50, man. 51-49. You get the majority and I'll get my... It doesn't work that way. Why? Because Jesus is life. He alone is life. Therefore, apart from him is death. If he doesn't own all of you, whatever you are keeping from him, you are keeping in death. You see that? I mean, this is wisdom. You don't win. You don't win by not including Jesus. You don't come to church and play a game and have this adulterous relationship or some sexual immorality thing going off in the side, and you're like, I just want to play around in this area, Jesus. You're not going to win, man. You don't win by coming to church and saying the right things, but all the while cheating on your finances over here and breaking the law and living a life of greed and somehow, well, Jesus, you have all this, but I'm going to keep all this over here. You're not going to win. You can't win. You're trying to keep an area of death. And the longer you do that, man, the more your life is going to die. I heard testimonies this weekend already in baptism. They were saying, I was living a life and everything I tried to do for myself was an area of death. See, Jesus loves you so much, he pursues you, and he will not stop pursuing you until he has all of you. And again, even now again, there are many of us who have different areas of our lives that we're withholding. Jesus is going after that, man. He wants every door open, every closet open, everything overturned, because he knows that when he has all of you, then you'll never be more blessed. This is why the call for your heart is unrelenting. It will not stop. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. And when you see it that way, then you gladly surrender more and more the areas of your life. You know, I love how many of you are in this church right now because you know what I'm talking about. Because you've tasted the world and it's gross. You have vomited the world out. It is proved to be a lie after a lie after a lie. Satan is the father of lies. And you are here right now because you want more of Jesus Christ. You found out that mediocrity, man, is boring. The lukewarm life, it stinks. And by the grace of God and by the gospel of God, he wouldn't let you go. He keep pursuing you and knocking and calling. And again, today is no exception. By his word and through his spirit, Jesus once again calls for your heart, right? Now, listen. This call will be going all the way to heaven. So here's my advice to you. You might as well pick up the phone, all right? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he's calling for all of your heart. He saved you. He saved you by grace, and he's calling for all of your heart. You might as well pick up the phone. Too many Christians do this. Jesus calls, they leave it to voicemail. That's not a good plan, man. That's not a good plan. Loved ones, again here tonight. You laughing at my phone? Like, is this a funny phone? It's an old one. Remember these? Do you have one of these? I got an old phone. Why? That's how long Jesus has been calling you your whole life, man. Listen. Phone's for you. It's Jesus. He says he loves you and he wants your heart. You want to talk to him? Yeah. Hey, seriously. He's calling for you, man. He's calling for you. And listen, he wants your heart because he loves you. He says, I love you and I want all of you. Will you pick up the phone? Too many Christians hear and don't do. Another example tonight. Here's another opportunity to respond to the call of Jesus Christ with your whole heart. And the question, what will we do when we leave? What will we do when we wake up tomorrow morning? What will we do with our... How many times will he have to call before we realize he's always right and he's always love and he's always good? How many times? God help us. Spirit of God help us. You know, and speaking of picking up the phone, I want to introduce you to a woman from our church. Her name is Lois McDougall. And Lois, many of you just hearing by your... many of you know her, some of you don't. Lois is in her 80s. And she's been in the hospital now for about a week. And she's waiting for some test results to see exactly what's wrong. But I went and saw her this week. You know, Lois in her 80s, she's leading a Bible study in our women's ministry with a bunch of ladies who are half her age or less. In her 80s, man, she's fired up, okay? She makes me look boring, all right? And she's out there and loving the Lord. I go in to see her at the hospital. Big smile comes across her face. The first thing she wants to tell me is how I couldn't make Bible study this week, but I set up someone in my place, and there was a video was ready, and the book was there, and all kinds of, like, Lois, come on now, you know. But that's the way she is, man. Listen, she's answered the call for her heart to be given to the Lord. Like lying in a hospital bed, and of course, as soon as I walk in too, it all of a sudden becomes about me, not her. Robbie, how are you doing? Our daughter was ill last week in the hospital, and she's like, how's Sadie? I'm just like, Lois, I'm not here talking about me, man. I'm here to love you. But that is the way she is. Here, one example to us, how many people that she's impacted. By the way, do you know the seniors of our church? And if you don't know the seniors of our church, you're missing out. Do you know we have over 200 seniors a part of our church? Seniors, like, they're not just going through the motions. Seniors are, we have the best seniors ministry. I am so, you know how many churches are like one generation only? We have everything from 0 to 90+. Everything. One of these days, someone's going to turn 100, all right? And we get the blessing of all these generations being together in this church. And if you don't know this part of our church, again, you are missing out. Like on Thursdays and Fridays when they gather, and there they are learning and growing and studying the word. And how many of them, honestly, I walk out to how many of them are fired? How many tears in the eyes I get? Tears in the eyes as I look at them, as they speak of what they're seeing and how blessed they are and the perspective they bring, okay? Hey, you know there's Father's Day and Mother's Day? We got to have Seniors Day, man. Every day should be Seniors Day, right? Right? Go find a senior. Hug them, please, okay? Hug them. Honor them. Love them. I am so grateful for them in our church. So profoundly grateful. It is the grace of God. Nothing that we've done. It's God's grace. Amen. 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 And we have to understand and show God our appreciation for the multi-generational aspect we have in our church. Lois is one among many that are blessing us over and over again, that are showing us that you can answer the call your whole life. Is Lois perfect? No, of course not. But she's seeking to answer the call in a hospital bed in her 80s right now. Love it. God, help me be more like that. All this to say, loved ones, the call for your heart is unrelenting. Jesus will continue to call for more of you and all of you as long as you're still breathing. Help us answer that call, I pray. You want a pure heart, man? You get that first point. Here's the second thing. You want a pure heart? You need to know this. The devotion of my heart is to be undivided. The devotion of my heart is to be undivided. So now we get to the specifics of the beatitude. It's a call for the heart, but not just the heart. It's a call for the pure heart. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Here's the question. What does it mean to be pure in heart? because the heart of that verse is what both, that is the heart of the verse, the pure in heart part. That's what Christ approves of, and that's what results in amazing fruit. You see that? The pure in heart is the center of that beatitude. Now, one of the obvious things is to be pure in heart is to be diametrically opposed to what's impure. Pure in heart is diametrically opposed to the impure heart. The very word pure means undefiled. That's a key word as you understand blessed are the pure in heart. It means undefiled. So when you drink pure spring water, you are drinking water that is clean, uncontaminated, and pure. Again, purity is the opposite of impurity. Purity is the opposite of impurity. So let's just take a second. Ready? Open your hearts up to God. Blessed are the pure in heart. What I'm hoping for right now is God's Spirit already is bringing impurities of your life to the surface. Listen. The pure in heart are the opposite of the impure. Anything in your life that is impure stands in opposition to what God wants to see in your heart. Purity is the opposite of impurity. Again, slowly. Blessed are the pure. Are the pure. Blessed are the pure in heart. See, already some of us have said, oh, you've been deceived. See, the heart deceives you again. Some of us have said, oh, that's why that's not going so well. And that's why that is, and that's why my pain has been so immense. And that's why I've been, because not blessed is the impure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. Pure heart's a big deal to God. You know, in fact, a pure heart's such a big deal to God, no one without a pure heart will ever get into heaven. Revelation 21, verse 27, I read it this week, profoundly impacted by this. Notice this. This is the new Jerusalem being described. This is the final verse of Revelation chapter 21. All the details of the city of Jerusalem, the heavenly city. Notice what it says at the end. But nothing unclean will ever enter it. No impure heart will ever enter into the new Jerusalem. No impure heart will ever gain access into heaven, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Loved ones, impurity isn't even spoken of in heaven. Now, I want to be crystal clear right now, okay? You don't go out by yourself, try hard, and become pure. Only Jesus Christ can create the foundation of the purity of your heart. The pure heart is found by forgiveness of sins in the cross of Jesus Christ. There's nothing we can do to result in salvation, to create our own salvation. God grants salvation by grace through faith. So the foundation of our pure hearts is 100% Christ. But what the Bible also teaches is although the initial work of our salvation is 100% Christ, the sanctification of our lives, the ongoing work of our lives in Christ from our salvation or justification is Christ and us. So you can never save yourself. Only by grace through faith. But once you are saved by the grace of God, you are to take that salvation, to take that justification, to take that purity of heart now, and you are to now seek God with all your heart to increase the purity of your life and to decrease the effect of sin that seeks to damage your soul. I want to be crystal clear on that. And here's what we see what God is calling us to. Realize the beauty of your salvation and then be spurred on towards greater purity because of what Christ has done for you. Let's continue to unpack this phrase. The pure heart is undefiled. It means it's an undefiled heart, but also this, the pure heart is undivided. The pure heart, when Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, he means that is the heart that is undivided. Behind the phrase pure in heart means without hypocrisy. So the pure in heart are not hypocrites. It also carries the word of being single, a singleness. So what's the problem with a hypocrite? The problem with a hypocrite is that he's two people. A hypocrite is divided internally. The hypocrite is not pure. So the pure in heart is the single-minded heart. The pure in heart carries an undivided devotion. So ladies, you know when you're trying to talk to your husbands and they're watching TV and you get about like a paragraph in and your husband looks at you and goes, huh? Right? Now, I'm not questioning your husband's love for you in that moment, but I am questioning your husband's undivided devotion to you in that moment, right? Now, that principle does not translate well into the Christian life. And Jesus is not okay with you at times going, huh? What do you say? He's not okay with that, like ever. Jesus is not good. Like, okay, you get your 50 and I got my 50. We talked about that already. Jesus is not good. That will never go well. The fruit of your spirit, of the spirit in your life is not like, okay, let's just bargain here for a little bit, Jesus, and let's see what can come up with. That's not the fruit of God's spirit. Listen. If you are trying to be Jesus, that's yours and this is mine, your heart's impure. That is what Jesus is saying. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the undefiled in heart. Blessed are the undivided in devotion. I'm not saying you have to be all there in the sense of like, I've arrived. No one's arrived in that sense, but you long to be is what the pure heart longs for. The pure heart gets this, says amen to it, and wants to pursue it. Remember, Jesus here, one of the reasons he emphasized the heart so much in his teachings, because he directly wanted to confront the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were hypocrites. The Pharisees were religious leaders that were externally, ritually motivated. They were pride-fueled. They were legalistic hypocrites. But people looked to them, people followed them, and people were afraid of them. In comes Jesus when he begins his ministry, cracks open a spiritual hand grenade, throws it right into the middle of the Pharisees and blows up their whole system. And he says to them, he says, I'm not looking for whitewashed tombs, man. He's like, I want the heart. You guys in all your games and all your charades, he's like, enough with that. He says, I want the heart. Turn with me to Matthew 23 for a second. Keep a finger in Matthew 5. Turn with me to Matthew 23. In Matthew 23, when Jesus is severely rebuking, I mean, this is such a powerful chapter. Matthew 23, verse 25. Jesus has just gone off on the Pharisees for a while here now. Verse 25. Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, ! Do you think he said that quietly? Doubt it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. What is Jesus going for? Verse 27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful. How many people play that game? They care about the external, how they're seen, how they look, how they talk, how they act, just for the image. And the outside, they appear beautiful, but Jesus brilliantly says, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Serious words from our Savior here. Serious words. Notice Jesus says here, he says, it's the transformation on the inside that genuinely transforms the outside. No question here, loved ones, the devotion of the heart that's pure will be undivided. It's not talk, it's not acting, it's not self-motivated. It's for Jesus Christ.
If you'd like to hear this message again, or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these free resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. If you'd like to get a copy of the entire series, make sure you phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. Our prayer is that people are impacted by Living the Light, they would be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.